seek to serve God in a very, very powerful way. You made a great contribution to us on this day, and we will never forget the messages that you have shared with us. The only problem this morning was I had to get a whipping twice. I was in the 8 o'clock service and the 10:45. And so whatever hit me in the first, it hit me again in the second. And so I really appreciate, Brother, I said that jokingly. All of God's word is actually a source of encouragement. It encourages us to even do better in our walk and to enhance our spirituality. And so that's what we have done, and we have been able to appreciate from Brother Wallace. Can't wait to hear his final lesson on today, but we want him to know that our prayers are with you and Sister Wallace as you leave us. Let's go back to Hernando, and please give a good report about Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. We are good people. We love you, and we really appreciate all that you have been able to achieve here with us. And so we're going to stand, and we're going to sing one more song. Chris, I know you know a lot of songs, but sing one that you know we all know. Amen. Amen. All right.
It's page 808, we're marching to Zion. If you have a little sing, come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in song with sweet accord, join in song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. Oh, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tears be dried. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. Oh, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion.
And the church said amen. Amen. Church said amen again. Amen. God is good. I said God is good. And God isn't good some of the time. Our God is good all the time. Woke us up this morning and started us on our way. We're not here because we've been so good, nor because we've been so careful. We're not here because we don't eat red meat and we're strictly vegetarians. We're here because God said one more sunny day. Church, when I think about the goodness of God, I get just a little stirred up sometimes. All of us in here been bad boys and bad girls, amen. Said some stuff we shouldn't have said. Went some places we had no business going. And we done thought some stuff we had no business thinking. Some of us could be arrested tonight for some of the stuff that you done thought in your hearts. Aren't you glad God looked beyond your thoughts and your faults and saw your every need? Isaiah said, his ways are not out. Aren't you glad God don't act like us? His thoughts? Oh, when I think about the goodness of God, church, I get just a little stirred up sometimes. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but he's a mighty good God. And every now and again, I have to tell him, thank you. Yeah, I said, I have to tell him, thank you. Every now and again, I have to say hallelujah. Listen, God is so awesome that sometimes you have to sit in the splendor of his silence. But then there are times when God moved and you knew it was nobody but the Lord. times like that, you just can't hold your peace. And some folks said, just don't take all of that. But if you had been through what I've been through, you would say it takes that and a whole lot more. But God is still good. His mercy endureth forever. It's good to be at Greenville Avenue, Dallas, Texas, home of the Cowboys. I ain't gonna bother him tonight. I'm gonna leave that alone. But it's good to be with your wonderful, capable, and illustrious minister. I count it an honor to stand where he stands each Lord's Day. And to be with his wonderful wife, we certainly enjoyed their fellowship and their company. They are wonderful hosts. Amen. They know where to take a preacher to eat. Amen. We didn't just fellowship, we belly shipped. Amen. And we thank them so much. And y'all call me back. Amen. Amen. I like coming here. Call me back. Amen. 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 Then I got a chance to bring Sister Wallace with me all the way down 40. I-30, and we got here. She don't get to go with me much. So Wallace, stand and let them see you. She's been hanging out with me now 32 years. Amen. Amen. Pray for us on the way back. She loved to tell me, baby, I'll take the wheel whenever you get ready. But she's never really to take the wheel until we get home. So pray for us as we travel back. We don't know when we might leave. We may leave tonight or sometime in the morning, but pray for our safe and our traveling grace. It's always good to be in the presence of flesh and blood. My brother, a little bit younger than me, about 11 months and so many days. My brother Conjo Wallace is here tonight. His wonderful wife, Marissa. And my nieces and nephews, good to have them in the audience. Y'all could have been somewhere else tonight, but you came out, amen, to hear your brother-in-law and your brother. Conjo, it's good to see you. And certainly, if y'all don't know him, amen, won't y'all just stand so they can see you and my beautiful sister-in-law and all of the family. Amen. 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 God's been good to him. He shared with us that he had been diagnosed with cancer, but God delivered him. And tonight he stands cancer-free. So we know that God is able. I've been dealing with a lot of sinus drainage, and so pray for me as we walk through this lesson on tonight. In the book of 1 Samuel, that was read in your hearing, beginning with verse number 22. It says, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy word, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Go back to verse 23, and the D portion of that scripture says, because thou hast rejected the words of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. Let me talk to you tonight from a thought and a subject. He had it, but he lost it. He had it, but he lost it. Among the many personalities that of whom we meet in scripture, Saul, the son of Kish, has to be one of the most tragic. He was a man who had everything going for him, and lost it all. To begin with, he came from a godly family. His father was rich and an influential individual who belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. Further, Saul was a person with a striking appearance. The scripture describes him as the most handsome man in all the kingdom, whose stature was of such that he stood head and shoulders above everyone else. In other words, he was tall, he was dark, and he was handsome. After all, Saul was the first king. And there is always something special about our first. Yeah, parents remembers a child's first words. They anticipate that the child making his first steps, whether it's our first child, our first love, our first date, our first job, or the first time we met someone special, your first pair of heels, sisters, your first car, your first home, or the first time you felt the Spirit of the Lord, you never forget your first. The record showed that Saul started off doing a good job. He began to melt the loose confederation of the Israelite tribe into a unified kingdom. Although the kingdom expanded greatly under David and reached its zenith under Saul, the foundation of its growth and development was laid by Saul. He drove the Philistines out of much of the interior of the land of Israel and pushed them back to the frontier. The more success the Lord allowed him to have or achieve, the more powerful he became. Success and power, however, are not self-perpetuating. Reaching the top is no guarantee that we will automatically stay there. Becoming an initial success is one thing. Knowing how to handle success so that one can stay on top and be a continued success is quite another. Attaining power is one thing. Knowing how to handle and how to use power once it has been attained is quite another. Some folk let power go to their heads while we are striving for success. And seeking power, we had better make sure that we know how to use them once we have made whatever sacrifices that were necessary to attain them. Let me say it again. Not everybody can handle success and power. There are people who are failures tonight, not because they didn't reach the top, but because they didn't know what to do with success and power once they reached the top. Preach here, Wallace. Success and power are deceiving as well as seductive. Because they can cause us to think more highly of ourselves than we should. I just need for you to know you all right, but you ain't all that. With their pleasant music in our ear and the sweet smell in our nostrils, it's easy for us to start believing that whatever we've done, what we've done by ourselves, and that we cannot be moved, and that we are unaccountable. Amen. We are accountable to no one but ourselves. However, everyone is accountable to someone or something. People do not have a right to do whatever they want, however they want, whenever they want, to whom they want, without impunity, without having to to answer for it at some point to someone or something. You know, when I was a boy, I used to say, I sure be glad when I get grown so I can get up out of him, out of him, out of him. Y'all remember? And when I said that, I said, I can do what I want to do. However, it wasn't long after becoming a man that I discovered that there always will be some force, some person or circumstances in my life to hold me in check. I'll never forget my oldest boy. I was telling him he couldn't do certain things. He called himself getting just a little beside him. He said, I'll be glad when I get grown. I said, boy, I can't wait to see you get grown either. And I said, I want to see you get your own place, and buy your own groceries. And boy, I live for that day. And I don't mean no harm, son. And when you do, I'm going to be your first visitor. Oh, yeah, when I come in, I'm going to leave the door wide open. When I get in there, I'm going to mess up every dish I can get my hands on. I'm going to the refrigerator. I'm going to open the door, and I'm going to stand there and look to my heart content. Oh, yeah, I'm going to cut the air down as low as I can, leave the doors open to cool the whole neighborhood. Yeah, I want you to get grown. Man, my bills go down when you get out of here. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Listen, even grown folk can't do what they want to do. You grown folk still paying bills. And act like you talking about, I'm grown, I ain't going to pay them this month. You may not pay them this month, but you'll double up next month. Praise the Lord. That force is there to remind us that we're always accountable to someone or something. That force may be a person, such as a parent, a spouse, a children, or other family member. But all of us have some regulating force in our life that hold the rein on our foolishness, that prevents us from turning God-given freedoms and opportunity into irresponsible issues, or license rather. Saul had such a force in his life. His name was Samuel. Samuel the prophet. If no one else knew, Samuel knew. If Saul himself had forgotten, Samuel had not forgotten the nature of his kingship. When success and power began to go to Saul's head, Samuel was there to remind him that he did not orchestrate any military coups to get the throne. He had not been voted in the office. He wasn't the only available person for the throne. Saul was king for one reason. And one reason only. The Lord God Yahweh. Stacker of mountains, scooper of valleys. Pathfinder through the Red Sea. The shaker of Jericho's walls. Had declared, this is the man that I want to be king. Saul was called not to be Israel's king, but to be God's king over Israel. Oh, that's a word for the preachers. A word for the church. The preacher is not just the church's minister. He's God's man to the church. And that's why he doesn't get his marching orders from the pew. Preach, Terry Wallace. When Saul became king, his job was to do what God said, like God says, or else he was going to be removed. And preachers today, we must do the exact, and sometimes folk ain't going to like it. No, he shouldn't have said that. If you are in sin, He was supposed to have said that. Because there are some folk in the church, walking church every Sunday, arm in arm with their boo, and ain't married. And then they walk out of here like they married and go home together. And when the lights go off, they still in the same house. Sleeping in the same bed. Preach terrible, because they ain't liking this one. And he gets up, the preacher gets up Sunday morning and deal with a little bit of shacking and rooming and roaming. You run to the elder, tell the elder, I just think he's being so insensitive. I know you are when you in sin. When the word of God is preached, when you know the truth, it's going to do two things. It's going to draw you or it's going to drive you. Y'all don't like me, do you? I just think you need to ease up a little bit. Listen, the wages. And it seems as though nobody seemed to care about the word of God and what God's word say anymore. And when the man of God has to stand all by, why would you say that? Because God told me to. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. For the time is going to come when men will not endure sound doctrine. If you shacking with Egg and Earl tonight, my job is to tell you, you need to marry him or leave him. Saul was not to be Israel's king. He was to be God's king over Israel. So Israel didn't set the standards. God sets the standard. Who sets the standards today? God's word and God's mouthpiece, the man of God. Preach, Bro Wallace. Let us never forget that God does not call us to be common and ordinary, but we are called to be people set apart, holy, and consecrated to doing God's will. Barry White had it right. He said, you ought to practice. Come on, stop acting like you don't know what that song. Practice. Saul, however, even when God chose him to be his man over Israel, Saul, however, chose to rule his way, forgetting who had put him where he was. We have to be careful about burning bridges that brought us over. Saul forgot that whatever the Lord gives, the Lord can take it away. We have to be careful about misusing and abusing what God has given us. If we don't use what God has given us in the right way, with the right spirit, we will lose it. God give us talents, but if we fail to use them in the way that God desires, we can lose them. God give us opportunities, but if we fail time and time again to make the most of those opportunities, God will not continue to cast pearls. As it were before, swines. Opportunities will cease to knock at our door. God gives us his spirit, but if we resist that spirit enough, we will drive the spirit away. Saul thought he could disregard the word of the Lord. Saul thought that he could disregard the words of the Lord. He thought he could sin and then sacrifice to patch things up between himself and God. Okay, y'all didn't get that. Let me do that again. Saul thought he could disregard God's word and God's will. He thought he could sin and then patch it up, then sacrifice to patch things up between him and the Lord. God knew Saul's heart. And that's why God sent Samuel to Saul one day after Saul has sinned once too often. And you do know you can sin once too often. Sometimes God gets tired. He'll decide to halt right there. Saul, I told you before to do something and you didn't do it. I'm telling you another time to do it and you still didn't do it. But now you want to patch it up? I told you when you went down there to destroy them, destroy everything. What is that I hear bleating? What's that noise I hear? Saul did not do what God told him to do. Ooh, you got to be careful, because folk can see your action, but God can see your heart. There have been people in my own life has sat at my table, ate my food out of my dish, and envied my happiness. You know what else I found out? If you want to make somebody angry at you, mad at you, and jealous of you, help them. Y'all didn't get that. Some folk don't recognize a blessing when it's standing in front of them. But I've learned in these 42 years of preaching that the more I have helped folk, the more folk hate on me. But I'm glad man don't have the last say on me. Because if it's one thing the Lord knows and he recognizes, is a man's heart and not his action. Because a man's action is not always an indication of what's in his heart. Because there are some folk who will smile at you in the foyer and cussing you all at the same time. Priest Harry Wallace. But Saul had forgotten it was God who put him there. He had it, but he lost it. Saul thought he could just die. How do you come to a place in your life when you think you're bigger than God? David said, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. Psalms 103, verse 8 and 9. So when Saul had sinned once too often and was making a sacrifice for his wrongdoing, Samuel confronted him and said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Hated God didn't want no sacrifices. He wanted Saul to obey his word. To hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and stubbornness is as iniquity. And because you have rejected the words of the Lord, he also reject you from being king. Saul was a man who had it, but he lost it. I want to just read this little portion to you right here. Listen to what happened to him. And this is where a lot of our younger preachers are coming along. It's getting off home basis, if I can use that term. Listen to this. Verse 24 says, "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sin. You sure have. It's always good to tell God you're sorry. But watch this. He says, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and his word, of thy word. Why, Saul? Because I feared the people. And did what? Listen, wimps don't apply for this job. Okay, y'all didn't get it. Wimps don't apply for this job here. Because sometimes you got to stand all alone. No matter what the people say, whatever God tells you to do, you better stand on it. Because he feared the people and obeyed their voice, God said, you can't be king no more. And if you're going to be blessed in your life tonight, you got to do what God said, like God said, and he's going to bless you. But the moment you decide to listen to the voice of the people, start fearing them. Man, he put on his pants just like you. How you going to fear him? God moved him from being king. After Saul lost his kingdom, he became a different person. Sin not only changes our circumstances externally, it also changes us internally. It affects not only what we have, but what we are. Yeah. It affects not only what we have, but what we are. He became suspicious of everybody around him. Listen, when we become distrustful and suspicious of everyone, we have a serious problem with self. When we start believing that everyone is out to get us and everyone wants our kingdom, we have a serious problem with self. When we start believing that no one likes us and everybody is against us, we have a serious problem with self. Listen, you better learn how to love you. You better learn, and listen, you are a dangerous individual. You can really be used by God in the kingdom when you are honest enough to recognize the star quality in other people. Amen. And not be jealous of their gifts. Saul turned on those closest to him who were trying the most to comfort and help him. Didn't I tell you, if you want folk to be envious of you, help them. He had a young armor bearer. Y'all know the story. A soldier by the name of David who began to score victories on behalf of his king. At first, Saul was pleased with the service David was rendering. However, when people, there it is. When the people began to sing, Saul has killed his thousands. But David, he is 10,000. You know, y'all do know who was saying that, don't you? The women were hollering. Preach, Brother Wally. Brothers, you got to be careful what voice you listen to. Saul got messed up listening again to the people. And Saul could not recognize and be appreciative for the star quality of King David. And because of that, his heart and the spirit left him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Saul has killed his 1,000. David is 10,000. When we are threatened, when we are threatened by another person's success, we have a serious problem with self. Oh, I need to stay right there, but I ain't gonna stay there. We got a lot of haters in the church. And we got a lot of haters among preachers. That singing preacher. Singing preacher. Man, I can't help you can't sing. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm going to leave y'all tonight. Don't worry. I'm going to be gone after 5 years. You got to worry about me. Listen, man, if you can preach, preach. If you can sing, sing. But if all you can do is preach, preach. But if you can preach and sing, preach and sing. God didn't give it to you for you to let it set away. Use it to God's glory. Let him use you. And you know what? I don't stop begging for who's gifted. Who's talented. Because when you're talented, you got to beg folk to use what God done give them. But when you're gifted and you know it's a gift, you are saying before you get. And I asked some folk at the Grove. Now, I can't talk about Greenville Avenue, but I can talk about some folk at the Grove. I had a young man, he could, ooh, that boy could sing. But you had to beg him. He had the talent, but he didn't have the gift. Because when God gives you a gift, you don't mind using and sharing your gift. But when you're talented, you know, you only want to show up on the big day. You know, when 45 people in the audience, you know, your throat hurting, you're sick, you can't hardly make it. But when about 2,000 are sitting out there, yeah, I'm ready, I'm ready. Now, that's when he needs to sit down. Let him sit. I never forget. Man, they were beg. I said, listen, we are not going to beg him to do nothing else. I said, just call my friend Chris Turner, tell him to come on over for the week and sing. Oh, 7 months rolled around. He didn't just get angry, but his whole family got angry. I wants to know why you ain't using my son. I said, because I don't beg folk to use what God has given them. Oh, praise the Lord. I did that for me. That ain't got nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. Oh, I begin to raise up little boys, just like y'all were doing tonight with the little kids. Raise them up right there at the Grove. I mean 12 and 13 years old, letting them sing. I got a young man there now by the name of Sebrin. An old Sam Cook is what I call it. And I don't have to say sing. All I got to do is just look over there at him. And he set on singing. But this other brother, I mean, he gets so upset. I don't know why. 10 years ago, when I was trying to use you and bring you along, we had to beg you. I said, when you are ready, God's going to reveal it. Amen. Oh, it's some preaching right there, but I ain't going to bother that. Oh, his family got angry. I said, I don't mean to be mean. I said, but you ain't supposed to beg folk to use what God has given you. Yes, man, if you can sing, listen, and I'm almost finished, listen. We must be able and strong and big enough to recognize other people's gifts. And then I'm so glad God didn't make me like Brother Gil. I cannot preach like that man. What would the world be like if everybody got up sounding like Brother Gibbs? I love his style. I love Brother, and that people, I mean, is jealous of Brother Gil when all they need to do is use what you got. Okay, that's enough on that. Y'all ain't looking good. Y'all ain't looking good. Let me give you this and I'm going to leave you. Listen, when we can't stand to see another person do well, when we lose sleep over it and pout and fret about it, we have a serious problem with, listen. Listen. You better learn how to have a self-image that takes you throughout your life. You better learn how to love you. You better learn how to appreciate what God has given you. And listen, when I went back to the hotel this evening and got me a good nap, changed my stuff, and he got me in a beautiful hotel, and I love the hotel when they got that full-length mirror. And you can look at yourself from head to toe. When I got through dressing my stuff and put up a little bit of hair, I could get up there. I looked at myself and said, boy, you know you look good. Yeah, I was looking at myself, make sure everything was in place. And I said to myself, boy, you're going to knock them out tonight. And listen, I don't care if you don't like what I got on. I didn't put this on to impress you. Listen, you better learn how to bake your own cake, put your own hat on your head, and have a party all by yourself. It's your birthday, and if don't nobody else show up, it's your birthday. It's your right to have the biggest piece of cake in the... It's your birthday. Stop allowing other folk to mess your day up. Saul could have messed up David, but David had a relationship with the Lord. And when you have a relationship with the Lord, there are some things you just cannot do. God brought Saul right there to David. David could have killed him. I know God is able. God will bring your enemy to you. But then he'll make you never do him no harm. David showed Saul, I mean you no harm. Look at it. Because the spirit had left him. He could not discern. And the men trying to figure out, David, you had the man in your reach. The man tried to kill you. You had every right. No, God said, touch. Not mine. Listen, you don't do wrong because others do you wrong. All you got to do is just wait on the Lord. If you're going to lead folk, you got to know more than them. They said, kill him. David said, no, fellas. The Bible said, touch not my. And then David also understood how I get in the place of a king will determine how I keep my position as a king. David said, I'm going in the way God wants me to. Because if I kill him, I'll be going in the way man wants me to. Well, see, when God puts you in there, can't nobody move you. They can have all kind of meat after the meat after the meat. But if God puts you there, there ain't a meeting held in the brotherhood can move you. Because if God be for you, I said if God be for you, y'all still ain't feeling me. Man, if God is for you, my question is who? Who's crazy enough? Who's silly enough? If God. Oh, I could preach right there for a moment. Oh, Miriam got upset with God only spoke to you more than God showed up. And can I tell you something? You don't want God showing up on your life. God said, I talked to Moses. I ain't talking to you. Okay, that's a whole nother sermon. Listen. Let me close it. Soon Saul found himself battling the Philistines again. Let me see if I can find somewhere to close. Listen. Saul was a man who lost it. He lost his kingdom. He lost his health. He lost his mind. He lost God's spirit. He lost his friends. He lost his supporters. He lost his life. We can have everything going for us, but if we don't have the Lord in our life, we can still lose. On the other hand, we can start off with little or nothing. But if we have the Lord in our life and on our side, if we are anchored in God's love, commanded to do his will or committed to do his will, if your heart is fixed and your mind is set on serving God, if we abide in Jesus and Jesus abide in us, then the whole world can be ours. Let us remember. Another king. Unlike Saul, who had everything going for him. This king had almost everything going against him. Saul came from a rich family. This king came from an earthly son of a carpenter and a humble handmaiden. Saul was dashing and handsome and a striking figure whose appearance and iron structure stood out. This king was rather average looking. The prophet Isaiah said that he had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. During his reign, Saul possessed houses and land. But this king said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. To entice his soldiers to follow him to war, Saul could promise them a share of the spoils. This king offered his followers a cross. He said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In other words, Saul was an affluent king, but this other king went through life borrowing everything. It has been said that he was born in a borrowed stable, preached from a borrowed boat. When he fed the multitude, he had to borrow a little boy's lunch of two fish and five barley loaves. He rode a borrowed mule into Jerusalem, held his last supper with his disciples in a borrowed upper room. And when he died in a borrowed tomb. His only possessions were his clothes and his cross. The sin that made up the cross were not his, but was borrowed from you. And from you, despite all that he lacked materially, he had something that the world couldn't give him and the world can't take away. He had God, who early that Thursday morning, while it was yet dark, raised him to stoop no more, to proclaim that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And I say tonight, give me Jesus. You can have everything you want. Just give me Jesus. Whatever you do tonight, don't allow yourself to have it and then lose it. If you do what he says, just like he says, he'll bless you. Come on, stand on your feet for me. Stand on your feet for me. Let me tell you. I want to tell you tonight. I read that story. Saul. All Saul had to do. All he had to do. Was to listen. To the voice. Of God. And history is repeating itself. People are listening. To TV shows. Dr. Phil and even Oprah and everything, and then go on Facebook. No, You need to get your face off of Facebook and get your face in the book. Everybody of old that ever got close, made it into the kingdom, made it into heaven with those who did what God says, just like God says, and they were blessed. And listen, when you do what the Lord tells you to do, that does not mean you're not going to have some difficult days. But this is what I've learned, that the Lord will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And because he's the cook, don't worry about no pardon. Your enemies is at the table, but they can't do you. Because he sees they can't slip nothing. And they try to put something in your food. The master already said, hold it. Let me take that from you. You need another plate. You need another plate. Because the Bible says heaper. See, when God is for you, when God has anointed you for his service, the devil in hell can't touch you. That's the reason why the devil is so mad now. The Lord has already whipped him. Okay, the fight is already fixed. Just get in the fight, man. It's a fight out here. That's all right. Just fight. When he knocks you down, get up. Knocks you down again, get up. Why? Because God placed everything on Jesus. And because of my faith in Jesus, I'm covered, thank God, by his blood. So God can't look at sin. So Jesus became sin for me. When I mess up and I come before his throne, I can see Jesus getting up saying, I covered him, Jesus. I covered him, God. Where are you tonight? Do you have it? And you're about to lose it? Are you becoming less faithful to the things of God? Does your conversations bespeak your relationship with God? Does your checkbook, your swipe card, your plastic card shows evidence that God is first and foremost in your life? Y'all ain't saying nothing. Yeah. You see, where a man's treasure is where his. All you got to do is ask some members, let me just look at your checking account. And if nothing in there reflects your love for the Lord and the things of the Lord, he ain't first. I never forget, we put a young man new into the finances and super, super guy, wonderful. And he was not where he needed to be in terms of his giving. But he had so much, and still, well, he's one of the greatest men in our congregation right now, but I'll never forget, he began to look. He said, Bro Wallace, look at that right there. I said, what about it? Everything he does, he's always giving to the church. I said, you need to be paying attention to counting the money. Instead of looking at what somebody's giving. Right. He said, no, Bro Wiley, please don't misunderstand. He said, this says to me, when I look at this, because I've been in here now for about 3 months, it's saying to me, I've been trying to figure out really why I'm not getting ahead. And I had a conversation with this brother, and he told me just 2 weeks ago, man, if you just put him first in everything. He didn't tell me what the first was. He just told me, if you just put him first in everything, sir, and you be faithful to it, because God rewards faithfulness. He said, I can't believe what he did, and I make more than him. I said, see, that's the problem. Y'all see how awesome God is? And I mean,
We talking about how much we should we give. Some of us, well, you know, they gave 10%. We ought to cut that out because some of us ain't giving 5%. Talking about 10%. Listen. He said, Brother Wallace, I give. I said, listen, son, look at what God does. God says, you got $100. Now let's just use the tenth. A tenth of $100 is $10. Who get the 10? Who get the 10? Y'all all right over here. Who get the 10? Okay, now, who keeps the 90? Y'all missing this thing. God gets 10. You get, who got the best end of the deal? Y'all ain't feeling me. Why y'all get so quiet on giving? I'm just trying to draw a point. God, this is what God is. God said, I can take my little and bless your biggest. It's not the amount of the gift. It's the bigness of your heart. God loves a cheerful. In other words, God loves givers. And let me close by telling you this. God will always bless you when you are faithful to the thing that he commands you to do. God said, if you just give me 10, I'll turn around and bless your 90. And when I bless your 90, give me 10 of that. Give me 10 of that. Now, listen, don't y'all get upset about the 10, because I don't understand why we be fussing the church. You know, we ought to at least start at a 10. Leave that alone, because some of us ain't doing 10%. Now, if you're going to give, that's where you ought to start. But if your heart, God don't want it grudgingly. Because listen to this. Just in case you didn't know it, it's his already. If you're here tonight, and you're at a brink of losing it, come to the master. Nobody who has ever been in his presence has ever left blessed. Jesus told the woman, give me some water.
Come on now.
Jesus got to talking. She got to talking. Jesus said, go tell your husband. Jesus said, you got 5.
Come on now.
And number 6 ain't looking like it's yours. And Jesus said, I'll give you some water that you'll never. She came for some ordinary water, but she got some extraordinary information. And she left that place, ran to the city, and said, hey, I have found a man. Now you know she didn't say she found a woman. She had her experience with men. But she said, I maintain tonight, sister girl, you don't need a man till you find Jesus.
Amen.
And when you find Jesus, you'll know what man to look for. That woman said, I done found me a man. Watch this. And he done told me, eh. That's a showed up man right there. He told me, eh. She dropped her water pot. Left, go, I found me a man. Oh, I done held you long enough. Hear how Jesus died for you. Hear how he died, he was buried, and that he rose again the third day.
Yes, sir.
Believe that with all of your heart. Then repent of your sins. Make up your mind. Repentance is a change of heart, thought, and action that results into a change of lifestyle. What you used to do, you don't do that no more. And then confess with your mouth what your heart believes. And then be willing to go down in the water. And in the water, all of your sins are washed away. In the precious blood of the Lamb. He became poor that we might become rich. And then he turned around and sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. I say thank you, Jesus. Don't you need to come tonight? You're working hard. working long hours, but you're not really happy.
Amen.
You're living, but you don't have a life.
Come on,
Jesus said, I've come that you might have, and that you might have it. Won't you come tonight? The song leader tonight, won't you come? This may be the last time. Tomorrow is not promised. All we have is right now. He had it, but he lost it. Won't you come as we sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace is out? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you full? Garments white, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily?
You can still come. It's not too late.
Are you walking in the blood of the Lamb? And do you rest
each moment?
Put in the crucified, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul?
You may be seated.
Cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Are you
God?
Spotless,
are they white as snow? Are you washed?
Hey.